Good to be with all of you today. It is, if this is your first time, it is a thrill to have you. It matters that you are here. And we are all together in one space, 1001. For some of you who have been around before, we had two services. We had a couple questions on that front, like why one? And I just wanted to explain real quick, answer that question if it's for any of you in the room. In the past couple years, one of the things that we really moved forward in our vision was we dream of living sent. We dream of planting four churches and seeing a fifth one planned in this decade. And the crazy thing is, we're in year three of that 10-year vision, and we planted two churches in year one and two. So yeah, awesome. But a lot of people go through that. And so we planted H2O Church in Kalamazoo, Michigan, to Western. And then we had a venue, which is kind of like a multi-site, at Eastern Michigan University. And this summer, we were able to get that up and running on its own. It's autonomous. It is New Life Ypsilanti. It is awesome. And so in light of so many going in those plants, as well as just some of the numbers that we have here, we looked at it and we felt like we fit in one space. And we have a growing desire to see the city and the campus be together and be more interactions between everyone as a multi-generational church. And we thought, it may not stay this way always. We could do another service, but for now, we're all together in 1001. Isn't that awesome? Yes, it's great. So with that said, it's a joy to be here. We are in part two of a five-part series, and if this is your first Sunday you missed last week, you can go back. I would encourage you to listen to that sermon online. It kind of frames our whole series. You can find it either on our website or through Apple iTunes. The other thing you can do is if you're on our website, scroll to the bottom right page, especially on your phone. There's a link to go to the Apple Store or the Google Store. You can download the app. You can listen to our sermons right in there. And so last week, Kyle did a great job framing out our series and how to discern the voice of God in your life. In particular, he offered the idea that much like taste, we can train our palate to hear God's voice. And he shared the difference between the insidiousness of Satan's voice and the voice of the secular world, describing them as Satan corrupting truth by divorcing it from grace, and the secular world corrupts grace by divorcing it from truth. And in contrast to those, God's voice is full of both grace and truth. God's voice is full of both grace and truth. And today, to further develop our palate, we're going to be looking at how God speaks through creation. And so before we go any further, let me pray. Lord, I thank you that you created everything. Lord, I don't know where everyone is in this room. If this is a first time ever in church or a thousandth time, Lord, how hard the week has been or the semester, the summer, this season of life. Lord, I pray that you would meet us in this space. You are a God not of just religion, but of relationship. Lord, and where it's not just information to know, but a relationship to be experienced. Lord, would we be reminded of who you are, what you have done, and who we are in your sight today? We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. When I think of creation, I often go to the Psalms. And Psalm 119, that's a long one. Psalm 19 has a fantastic explanation of creation on the front end of how God speaks. It says, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. And I love this, that God has created everything, including the heavens at night, the skies during the day. It's constantly proclaiming who he is so that the whole world can know. I was down in Texas for a conference this last spring, and there was a restaurant at the top of a tower in Dallas that rotates. It's a Wolfgang Puck one, and I'd love to say I went there and it was amazing. I can't afford that. I didn't go. But I heard about it, and I thought, that's really cool. The reality is, I was like, that's a really cool idea. They stole the idea from God. Do you know this? Think about it. He made everything, all of creation, and then he put us on a planet and spins us to see. Isn't that awesome? I think they should give credit, but I don't know if they do. So when I think of all this and I think about God speaking through creation, often we're in those moments where we want to hear from God because we want a decision to be made. We need direction. We need, what's my life? Tell me it all right now, so that I can be overwhelmed. I mean, really, when we ask that, do we really know what we're asking? No. But you gotta remember that so often, so much of God speaking to us isn't him telling us what to do, but rather reminding us of who he is, what he's done and who we are in his sight. So much of how God speaks, especially through creation, is reminding us of who he is, what he's done, and who we are in his sight. And so in light of that, what does it say about God that he made this? What does it say about God that he made this? That's not Photoshop, people. It's real. What does it say about God that he made this? What does God say through his creation of this? Or this? What does it say about God that he made this? Or what does it say that he made this? Creation speaks and reveals so much about God, who he is, and who we are in his sight. Because creation points us to the Creator. Creation is constantly pointing us to the Creator. When you look at those images, probably just in this room alone, we could write volumes on what we experience through those images. How God speaks to each one of us uniquely. What he's saying about himself and about us. I'm reminded of God so much in creation. I love the outdoors. I have a degree in outdoor education. Yes, I love it that much. I'm reminded of God's vastness and power in the oceans. I'm reminded of his constancy in the sunrise that comes up every day, his artistry in sunsets, his majesty in the stars, his strength in the mountains, his grace in flowers, his brilliance in the vast diversity of his creation. I'm reminded of his love that we are the third rock from the sun, perfectly positioned in the Goldilocks realm where life can be sustained. It's amazing. I'm reminded of his protection when I see those northern lights, because it reminds me there's an atmosphere that protects our planet, like him shielding us as our Father. And I'm also reminded of the gospel through the seasons, and I have to give credit to Kyle for this one, because in the summer, we experience life and vibrancy through the summer, which we just came through. And then we kind of move into the fall, and we begin to experience death, decay in autumn, or why it might be considered the fall. And then we move into the season where it's dark, and darkness seems to win out the day as if everything is dead and laid to rest under a cover of snow, like the grave of winter. And then, like the resurrection, new life emerges with the spring. And we get all these seasons because we're tilted at the right axis as we zoom around the sun. It's amazing. God's creation is constantly pouring forth. Look, I am the Creator. I made all this. I have made all this, this brilliance, this diversity. And yet, for so many reasons, we miss the Creator for the creation itself. Romans 1 puts it this way: for ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. His creation screams Creator. And for a lot of reasons, and a lot, not just in our day and age, but people have missed or replaced the point of it all. That there isn't a Creator, or it's something else, or someone else. Yes, they knew God, it goes on, but they wouldn't worship him as God or give him thanks. I think that's so profound, to not just worship him with our life, to give him the honor and the glory he deserves, but to just give him thanks. That's one of the other Psalms that says, let us rejoice and be glad, for the Lord has made this day. I totally slaughtered that one. But you understand, as a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they
instead became utter fools, and instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. And we look at that and we think, that's just silly. We don't do that. No, we don't. You know what we do? And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped style, success, purpose, and power. Because the reality is, we don't often in our culture, our Western society, make idols fashioned by our hands, but we surely fashion them in our hearts and minds all the time. All the time. We give what is rightly the Creator's place all these other things. And we try to fill our life and find meaning and purpose off of those. And the temptation through all this is to worship what we can make or do or achieve, to worship the created over the Creator. We can get so wrapped up in what we are doing that we have no time for God. And that's the culture we live in. We live in the most stressed out, overtaxed, overstimulated, over-to-do listed generation in the history of the world. Our pace drives our economy, our economic engine, but it also partially drives us in mental disorders, in stress, paranoia, anxiety, breakdowns, ulcers. So many things are driven out of this. The New York Post wrote an article and they said this: "This is progress in America. You always move forward and there are no limits to how far you can go or how fast you can get there. Don't pause, don't reflect. You win or lose, you'll fall behind or fail if you don't stop moving. Fast at any cost is the mantra of a stressed and distressed American society today." And I'm an Enneagram 3. I thrive in this. I want to multitask all the time. Ryan mentioned I was training for a marathon. I'd run 16. They show up to run 8. I'd probably listen to 5 podcasts by the time they showed up. I'm not kidding. I listen at double speed. It's crazy. And through all this, the Lord is saying, like, he's even calling out to me and to all of us here, when is the last time you just sat? Seriously. With nothing going on, like no TV, no music, no phone, not even a book, just sit. When do we slow down? When was the last time you went for a drive and had nothing playing on the radio? And you just took in the beauty of what you're driving by? If you're in a big city, I'm sorry. Little tree here and there. Look up, there's always a sky. When was the last time you at home sat on a couch without the TV on? And I'm asking you, these are rhetorical questions for myself. I'm like convicted of this in my life. And as I was praying about this and going through this week, I felt like as a church, the Lord is just inviting us to slow down, to listen for God's voice, to listen for how God is speaking to us today, because he is still speaking, especially through his creation. He wants desperately for you to know him, to have relationship with him. And the verse that jumped out at me was Psalm 46:10 that says, and this is my prayer for all of us this week, to be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Can we do that in our life this week? Can we slow down and know that he is God? He wants us to know him. All of creation is pointing to himself, the Creator, and yet, as Romans said, so many miss it. We miss it every single day. We have opportunities and we miss them. And that's why he wasn't content to sit and just watch it play out. That's why God himself, the Creator, came into creation for us. It's mind-boggling. Hebrews 1 says this: long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. So he had people that he would deliver messages through, as if they were his mouthpiece. He's speaking to his people. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus. God promised everything to the Son as his inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe. It actually says in the beginning, like Jesus was there. He created everything. He is the one behind all of this. And the Son radiates God's own glory. Glory there is doxa. It means his inherent worth, his dignity, his splendor, his brilliance. You think of Jesus, the time where he was transfigured on the mount and they saw him for who he was, and it was a brilliance of light. That is him in all his glory. That is who he is, the purity of God. Moses spent time in the tent meeting with God and came out and his face was glowing to where he had to shield it so that people would see. Like, this is what it's saying. And that Jesus radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. Another translation says the exact representation. This is the only time this Greek word in the original there is used in the entire New Testament. And it literally means like an exact representation. It's like his print, inked on paper. That's it, exact representation. He sat down in the place, and then it says, express the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. That Jesus stepped into humanity for us. He lived a perfect life. At the end of his life and his teaching, he was handed over and he was crucified on a cross. In the most destructive act in human history, we as created beings destroyed our Creator. And out of the most destructive act in human history came the most creative force that has ever existed, grace. He came to give us grace because even though he created everything and all creation is pointing to him, people were missing it. And he didn't want anyone to miss it. So he himself came into creation, lived in a way that we couldn't live, reflecting the glory of God, and then died on the cross where we deserved to die, giving us grace. He was laid in a tomb. He was risen from the dead. He stands at the right hand of God, the creator of everything, having come to save us. And his grace interrupts the downward spiral in our own life. That no matter how bad it gets in our life, there's still hope. You still have worth. You are still worth saving. The same God who spoke a word over the chaos and the creation of the world says the Spirit hovered over the waters as he was creating in the Genesis account. He hovers over the chaos of our life. Each and every one of us wanting to reach out, wanting relationship, wanting to restore us to the proper place as the created interacting with our Creator. And why would the Creator enter his own creation? Why would the Father send his one and only Son to us? Because Jesus loves you and wants to have a relationship with you. He loves you and wants to have a relationship with you. And I invite you to take time this week, each and every one of us, to take time this week to develop our palate for hearing God's voice again, specifically engaging with the Creator in his creation. And I want you to follow Psalm 46:10, which is the idea of be still and know that I am God. Be still before creation and know that Jesus is God. Because this isn't just information to take in or to receive. Everything we're talking about, his creation, what he's done, who he is, and how he sees us, this is not just information. This is grace and truth to be experienced. Grace and truth to be experienced. For me, I grew up in a church. I ran from God hard. I surrendered in college. And when I did, this was the game-changing part for me, the realization of a relationship that's experiential, that God wants me not just to know about him, but to experience him. And I'll be honest, it seemed crazy to me at the time. I had no idea how to follow God. Fortunately for me, he didn't put in front of me a set of rules. He just simply said, follow me. Follow me. And so I want you to engage with creation this week. Experience him. Get outside. Go for a walk, a run, a bike ride. Soak in his beauty. Maybe just eat lunch outside. My kids made a picnic for me yesterday. It was awesome. It was a blanket. God slowed me down. I laid down on the blanket. We looked at the sky, looked at clouds. It was awesome. They also made me surprise sandwiches, which are basically bread rolls with peanut butter and something inside the peanut butter that's a surprise. At least once I tasted soap. So they were being creative and had fun. If outside isn't your thing, I get it. There's people in here, they're like, never going outside unless I have to. I get that. That's all right. Look out a window. Go for a drive in the country. Seriously, my wife and I, we're dropping our kids off at school. We take back roads to avoid the highway, because it's basically the same distance, except you sit forever on a highway in the morning. But going the back road, we've talked, it's so refreshing. It's one of the best parts of our year. It's just getting to drive through the country with our kids and look at God's creation. It's so refreshing. If TV or movies are your thing, awesome. Go watch Planet Earth or Planet Earth 2 or World or some documentary. I'm serious. I can't tell you how many times I've watched some documentary about God's creation, and I'm moved to tears in thanksgiving and worship. And I'm so glad the whole family's in bed not watching me just cry. Write a poem if you're a creative. Write a poem or a song or paint a picture about God's creation. I've been taking pictures a lot in the last year, especially of his creation. It's been so refreshing to engage with him in that way. And if you want to get in the Word, go to the Psalms. So many of the Psalms talk about, they are people responding to God, the Creator, through what he's created. It's so awesome. Jesus has so much more for us to learn about who he is, what he's done for us, and who we are in his sight. And as I said, if any of you are like me, you may think this is a little crazy. It's a little different. When I was a freshman in college and this was all new and I was really starting to follow Christ and he was calling me out, I was in that place of like, this is nuts. Y'all seem crazy. And then on the inside, I was like, but it sounds really cool. Like to hear from God. Could this be real? Is this why my parents or my friends like Jesus? Because I was like, I don't get it. And so I started to lean in. And I just say, if there's any inkling in you, any leaning, any tug on your heart today to maybe just explore this and experience God in a new way, to hear his voice, might I just say that is God, the Creator, calling out to you? Would you lean in? Would you trust Jesus today? Thank him for who he is, what he has done for you, and just say to him, you trust him. Ask him that he would help you follow him. I had no idea when I started following him. He just said, follow me. And the willingness to do that, to walk with Jesus, he has transformed my life through his love, his grace, his truth. And everyone has this opportunity to walk with Jesus, no matter what we've done, where we've been, what we've seen, or who we are. I want to give you this last verse to help you lean into this a little bit more. Romans 3:22 says, we are made right with God. That means right relationship, where we've all sinned and fallen short. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. It's all the same. It's not what you do. It's not a list of works. Do get right before you come to me. He says, literally, have faith in me, in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. This is what I want in this time. I'm going to close in prayer. The band's going to come back up. We're going to have a time of prayer and communion and worship, which I'll explain here in a minute. But in this moment, I want you to lean in to what Christ has for you in this moment, what the Creator wants for you, his created. So I'm going to pray. Jesus, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the opportunity to reflect on who you are, what you've done for us, Lord, and who we are in your sight, that we are beloved children, that you are the Creator, that we are the created. Lord, I pray in this moment that we would hear your voice, that we would experience your presence. Lord, in this week, in this moment, in this time, right here, Lord, whatever else is going on in our life, could we just be fully present and hear your voice? We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. We have communion in the front where Jesus, on the last night of his ministry before he was crucified, he gathered with his disciples and had a meal, and he took a loaf of bread and broke it and said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he took a cup of wine and he said, this is my blood poured out for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And so we have tables in the front, the back, and in the balcony. You can come forward. If you're a follower of Christ, even if you just said for the first time, I want to follow you, Jesus. Or maybe you're just coming back. You can come forward. You take a piece of bread, you dip it in the juice. Be reminded that this is the Creator of everything, who broke his body, shed his blood for us so that we could be made whole and in relationship with him. We invite you to experience his grace and his truth in this moment. And we're gonna have prayer ministers in the front, in the back, and in the balcony. If you want need prayer for anything, we'd love to pray with you. And we experience his grace and truth right now.